a shot in the dark. Wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, kids, here we go. Episode 281 on an auspicious federal holiday, the Feast of Saint Cyril and Methodius. That's not what you were thinking, right? No, it's not the Feast of Saint Valentine. It's the Feast of Saint Cyril and Methodius. Saint Valentine's Day, but that's, come on, you know, that's what some people are celebrating. But I am celebrating what I celebrate every year, which is Single Awareness Day. Today is the day when everyone around you is like wearing red and buying stuff, and they got their roses and their chocolates and everything, and you just go to buy some asparagus for a stir fry, and there's like whole trade flowers, come and get it for the love that you have in your life that gives you meaning. And I'm just like, you know, it's just like, yeah, I'm just gonna stay home and read books. I'm like, yeah, you know, and because you know, I thought about this morning, and when I woke up, I thought about like talking about Single Awareness Day. And I rolled over to tell my beautiful, intelligent, amazing wife that I love so dearly about this idea. And then I remembered that she doesn't exist at all, and I am completely alone. So I didn't tell her because she doesn't have being. my wife has a lot of good qualities. Being just doesn't happen to be one of them. I mean, the being challenged are really the last great underappreciated minority. And, you know, that's rough, you know, to not be at all. It's just hard. So anyway, happy Single Awareness Day, Singleness Awareness Day, whatever you want to call it. Happy Everyone's Got Love and It's Mocking You Day. Weekend recap. Da, 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 da. Weekend recap. I really need to get like some punchy bumper music. Weekend recap because, so I did a show yesterday and I couldn't use it. And it wasn't technical problems. It wasn't any of that. I got done with the show and I was like, I realized I had mentioned this thing, then told this story, then commented on that. And then I realized that I just riff off what's on my mind. And I realized by the end of the show that if you added up the things that I said, it would kind of like be a betrayal of confidence of a conversation that I had with someone that I care about. And I was like, you know what? I can't use that show. I was off the cuff and didn't have a lot of notes and accidentally almost just kind of said things that were a little too personal. So there you go. So I'm going to pick up a few ideas, but I have more ideas for that show. It wasn't a very good show, so don't feel bad. It was okay, who am I kidding? It was an awesome show. It was a super great show. I'm really bummed. I saved it in case one of these days I'll be able to use it. Maybe I'll pick out sections of it that were really good out of context and put them on the friend of the show page. Yes, that still exists. You too can become a friend of the show. What does that mean if you become a friend of the show? It means me, your humble host who is struggling to make a living in radio in a startup, gets money that you give us, and we give you free stuff like extra content. And I know that my friends of the show are listening, and I say I'm going to put some free content up there, some extra content. And I know that all my friends of the show are listening, and both of them are asking, I haven't seen any content. Well, it's a vicious circle. It's a catch 20. It's a catch 20. All right. Weekend recap. So, Friday had our big reading group that you heard the beginning of whenever, my good friend Adam, I almost got shot by Wendell Berry, Beach, came and sat down. I love grabbing people, like ambushing them and being like, be on my show. It's so, it's like live, you know, it's live for me. Well, actually all the shows are live for me. Are they not? I mean, I people say to, do you do a live show? And I'm like, well, I'm alive when I do it and it's in real time, but you know, so I do a live show. Not everyone hears a live show. See, I'm in a punchy mood because I got sleep last night as opposed to night before last. And that's why I wasn't thinking yesterday and I screwed up and said too much, on the radio because I got up to do an early morning show and I was really tired because I woke up and 4 a.m. couldn't go back to sleep. So that's what happened. Anyway, so Friday we had our, we discussed, Peter Maurin and Dorothy Day and the founding of the Catholic Worker Movement and the tenets of the Catholic Worker Movement. And, this is amazing. We're actually doing the exact same piece with some, Simone Weil added to it this coming week. I forgot I do have a Valentine. A shout out to Megan Cogran, my Valentine for the day, a beautiful young woman that I went to, Thomas Aquinas College with, saw me bemoaning my existence on Facebook and, bemoaning my lack of relationship existence. And she said, let's be Valentine's today. So I am for a day, I have an amazing, intelligent, strikingly intelligent, beautiful woman as my Valentine. It's not going to do me any good because, I mean, she lives halfway across country and it's only for today and it's only on the internet. But there's better than last year, which is suddenly very depressing. Anyways, Friday night, Perry West played the first concert for causes and $5 and a pair of socks got a chance for you to see Perry West play amazing music from his award-winning, okay, I was the one that gave him the award, and it was a glass of wine, but award-winning CD, A Half Glass Full, available on iTunes, and if you want to be cheap like that, on Spotify as well. Buy it on iTunes, you know, or go to his website, Perry West Music, and buy the actual physical CD. Get the lyrics and all that. Really good. And Perry, speaking of insomnia, Perry hadn't, I know for a fact, cause Perry's one of my roommates and he hadn't slept all night and he worked all day and the dude was delirious. I mean, he was hurting hard and he played a great show. He destroyed on no sleep. And we ended the night at the Skylark, our local, rockabilly club, which we used to go to all the time. And dance and stuff. We don't do that anymore. There used to be a crowd here that was always down for the Skylark. We can get that going again. The Atomic Drifters were playing. It was like rockabilly, country swing, kind of so much fun. So that was a good time. And I got to have one of the more unique experiences where I tried to tell Peter Zelasko the entire story of the Life and the Spirit seminar that you heard on a few episodes ago while three punk girls next to us were having a conversation that I never thought I would hear female human beings have in public without worrying about everybody overhearing them. It's like, and we're just going to leave it at that. It was one of the stranger juxtapositions of conversation I have had in a public place. And believe me, I have conversations in public places for a living. I got up the next day and I went to Whole Foods to get some coffee and some food on my way to go to a meeting. And, I saw this car and this car had, like buttons like stuck in the dash. Like there was a cover, like a cloth cover on the dash and buttons in it for like devotional purposes, I guess, you know, the way that we would hang a rosary from the rearview mirror, put a holy card there, put something funny, you know, and they said, F Donald Trump, which I can't say I don't ever echo the sentiment. But the other big old button says, abortion on demand without apology. And that just haunted me all day. That there's, I'm 99% sure, a woman, just based on the stickers on the car and just, you know, and the way the car was decorated and whatever, and the button. So there's some probably 20-something woman. And there was a Whole Foods employee sticker, like a parking sticker on. So this is like someone who I interact with on a daily basis. They make my coffee or help me find that new, you know, organic tuna or something. I don't know. It's like, this is someone I have interaction with, and they are so adamant. They want to meditate. They want to have right in front of them when they drive this principle that they're dedicated to, which is abortion on demand without apology. I'm just like, wow. Oh, so, I mean, but that's fine. The reason it kind of knocked me is that's Calyx's. That's the demographic of Calyx. That's the people we're trying to reach that no one else is trying to reach, is the people that it takes 50 to 200 cappuccinos over a year or two to till the ground and earn the right to be heard to speak into that life. But sometimes it doesn't take as long. And I'm going to talk later on about an article that I read, a story in an article that I want to be like, wisdom, be attentive, right? I just want to point to it. That was really bad chant. All right. So, when we get back, I want to talk about a couple more things from this weekend. Then I got an article, and then I got some ideas that I want to talk about. So you are listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew Whaley, and I'll see you on the other side.
Let my sacred word to mutter, ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counterposition, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. See, only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. This is the National Single Awareness Day episode of The Counterposition. So, you know, all kidding aside, I like that there's a day that we stop and we celebrate romantic love. We just one day we give, do we just all kind of like, we just kind of say, hey, Eros, that's good. We like that. You know, I mean, I'm fine with that. You know, I don't begrudge, you know, I don't begrudge people who have that. Celebrating, you know, well done, you found love in this world and fought hard for it, and well done, I am proud of you. You know, where if anybody needs the rest of us, we'll just be over here being bitter today. So this weekend Luke Carey was in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to Luke Carey. Luke and Gomer, the co-hosts of the Catching Foxes podcast. One of the better Catholic podcasts out there. I am a giant fan of Catching Foxes. You know, I've never been on Catching Foxes. Friends of mine have been on Catching Foxes. I'm friends with Luke. I have a radio show of my own, you know. Just saying, hypothetically, Luke wouldn't mind being on the show sometime. Catching Foxes is a great podcast. I need to catch up on it. And also, we all met up at Hanson's Pub here in Denver, and all the Catholic kids were out, and there was drinks imbibed and food consumed and much merriment made, and a vigorous argument ensued about whether or not soccer was a sport, which I usually happens when me and Luke are around each other. Maybe that's why I've never been Catching Foxes podcast. It's my claim that it is very difficult, and it's an aerobic workout that involves a ball and some goals that almost impossible to put together in any way, shape, or form, which being a guy that likes scoring in my sports makes it unwatchable for myself. But, you know, my friend Doug McCauley used to always tell me that you got to play soccer to understand soccer or grow up in a culture with soccer. And I have to admit, after playing like some half-court soccer, like with Mexican youth group kids in Fillmore one time, I kind of understood soccer a little better. So I can get it. It's fine. I just, if I, it's not, I just don't show up and pay money to drink beer and watch passing. I just really want to see someone score. But hey, the rest of planet Earth can't be wrong, right? So I'm on the wrong here. I'm in the wrong. So we're hanging out at the ye old Hanson's pub there, and I met this woman that my friend Ducky was talking to, and we started talking. He's like, "Oh, hey, I was just about to tell her about your thing, Calyx. You do it better. Tell her about Calyx. You know, tell her." Okay, yeah. So we were talking about the algae on tap versus Calyx and how not to interrupt people but invite them and create a place and all this. And it turns out it was Megan Mastriani. So shout out to Megan Mastriani. I guess she's like a Catholic speaker type or something. It's the thing about Denver. You're always bumping into the Catholic famous and semi-Catholic famous because they all come through here. But I had a great conversation with Megan and gave her my card, and we're going to talk about something. She works out in Philly, I guess, with Archbishop Chaput, who I'm a giant fan of. So really got it. I really like her a lot. She's super cool. So that happened. And final thing I want to talk about from the weekend is so I got up. So I slept in. I'm trying to catch up. I just been like on this, like either I binge sleep or I can't sleep. So when I can sleep, I sleep a lot. When I sleep, I just keep going, especially on the weekends. Like if I don't have to get up, I don't. I just sleep as late as I possibly can because I got to get it while I can get it because I'm having trouble with insomnia sometimes. So I slept in, got up to get some coffee, and I went by one of my favorite coffee houses. I mean, just like it's one of my favorite coffee houses in the world. And it's such a cool little shop and such a great place, normally bustling with people hanging out, having conversation, reading and talking about stuff around them. And the bar was kind of empty. There wasn't anybody hanging out. And I looked to the left and there are 7 or 8 tables. Each one of them just lined up, has a person in the exact same position facing the bar, in the exact same position on either side of the room with their headphones in, laptop in front of them. And they just, I mean, it looked like cubicles. It looked like people were at work. And I get it. And I'm a hypocrite because I have my bag with me and my laptop. I was kind of hoping to do some work too, but I kind of do work and I don't put headphones in. I do work in kind of a engaging way. I mean, I'm kind of open for interruption and conversation in a way that when people just hunker down headphones, boom, I am here because I need caffeine and an internet connection. It's just, it doesn't happen. And it's just something I've been thinking a lot about because we're working on Shrine Coffee in Santa Cruz, California. And just, I'm trying to figure out what the model is that I really want to promote with Calyx. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thinking about building a prototype. I mean, at least one of the types of shops that Calyx could help with and maybe put out there as a prototype that we own is going to be like Faraday Cafe in Vancouver. I'm literally going to put mesh in the walls, no internet connection. Your cell phone will not work. And I'm going to put a giant sign that says no laptops. And we're just going to take donations from people outside who want us to have conversations with people. It'll have to be a nonprofit shop, most likely. But that maybe not, though. In New York, Cafe Grumpy in Chelsea pulled the internet connection a few years ago, and then more have done that. And I heard recently that Birch Coffee pulled the internet connection and banned laptops, and they're all thriving. It seems like there's a group of people wanting to experience the life of the cafe before it was just a co-working space, right? I don't know. So, but here's the rub. There's a rub here, though, is that the activities that mark the cafe. Now, if you're just listening for the first time by some weird chance, my name is Andrew Whaley. I have an apostolate called Calyx. We help people use hospitality to create community. We primarily do that through building coffee houses, designing, launching, building them, helping people operate them in the Catholic space as places where dialogue and conversation can turn into real relationship. And eventually, in that proper context, evangelization and discipleship. So that's why I'm talking about cafes and what people do in cafes. Back to my story. The thing is that the activities that mark the cafe are the consumption of food and beverage, conversation, reading and writing, kind of in that order, reading and writing, maybe being together. Right. So, but before headphones and before laptops and before the ability to be on this laptop, on this little machine and have access to a rich global community that you can take part in that just doesn't happen to include anyone who's in physical proximity near you. Before that, you'll notice the second consumption of food and beverage, conversation. Number two, conversation used to mark the activity of the coffee house, and now conversation interrupts the activity of the coffee house. And part of this is just the nature and the ubiquity of the new digital media and the shift towards the kind of the free agent nation and everyone kind of like having startups and running their own game and not wanting to pay for office space. And, you know, they call them Bedouins, like in San Francisco, when these startups don't have office space and they meet at different cafes in the morning and the afternoon every day and just like camp out at a big table. And they're actually using cafes instead of an office to work. And man, you got to buy a lot to pay your way, not to be a pain in the butt to a small business owner to do that. But you know, I've seen it. Ann Breiling and I went to that cafe in San Jose. I can't remember what it's called. It's owned by a church. The church bought this shop as a way to create a space for conversation and to create relationship. And we walked in and on both sides, big group table over here, large, long banquette over here. It was like this shop slam full of people and it was totally silent. It was just almost like you could just hear one conversation about someone ordering. Because everyone had on headphones and they were facing a laptop plugged in, like in pods, like a 1984 kind of movie or something. I mean, just freaks me out. But the problem is that reading and writing and doing work, you know, in Cafe Central and the old Viennese cafes way back in the day, people would print business cards, and in addition to their office hours, they would have their cafe hours printed on it. So they put writing desks in and stuff because people were there working. But there, I guess it's just a point where technology and the way we work becomes not conducive or not ergonomic to the way we operate and connect as human beings. So I don't know, man. I just want to, I'm really, really tempted to just do a 1990s, but with better coffee house, Faraday cage mesh embedded in the walls. It's like no laptops, no phones, vinyl or maybe CDs going over speakers to play music. And, come with a friend to have a conversation with, or an old book and your journal and a sharp number two pencil or a pen, because that's what you're going to write with. It's like, I'm getting to that point where I'm old enough that I am annoyed by society. I'm annoyed how people live. And I'm shocked by the youth. This happened over the weekend too. I heard stories from a friend of mine that shocked me. Doesn't happen very often. I didn't know it was possible anymore. All right, so let's head off to the break. You're listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew.
Then how we crave a hanging in the dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
People singing, please don't sting, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley. This is the Single Awareness Day edition of the Counter Position. You know, I had a tradition when I was young, and I had hope. I had this long list. I had this big list, like this. Here's who I'm gonna meet my soulmate. I'm gonna see her in a train, you know, or across the cafe, and I'm gonna see her, and her eyes are gonna lock, and I'm gonna reach in my shirt, and I'm like, "Do you have the other half of this amulet?" And she says, "Yes." And we're just gonna float through the air, and the violin's gonna be like da 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 da, and we're just gonna be like together forever, and make beautiful above average children that we homeschool and name after saints, and send to Catholic schools that are most likely great books based. And that didn't happen. And so I started a tradition, and every year on my birthday, I would remove something from my list. And I mean, I started off with, like, you know, must love the early work of REM, but not this one record. I mean, loves Rilke, but loves the poems of Rilke, but loves Letters to a Young Poet more than the poems, but really likes the poems. I mean, I had all these like really specific things, you know, about this person. And every year I've removed something from that list. And I'm down to, so in case you know someone, Catholic, has a pulse, will have me. Now, actually, that was before my last birthday, and I didn't take anything off this year because, but you know, the only option would maybe Catholic. So I'm kind of, maybe I need to go outside the tribe. Maybe I need to start looking off the team. So, the other two are kind of non-negotiables, but man, I just decided to skip a year. We'll see what happens. Singles Awareness Day. It's been a public service announcement from the Counter Position. I need coffee. Okay. So let's get off of all of this stuff. Well, I mean, we're kind of talking about it though. Let's just kind of keep talking about this. Before I go to that, I do want to talk about love and the pursuit of beauty and all this stuff and kind of how that fits in with some ideas I had over the weekend. But before I go to that, go back to the experience I had at Whole Foods over the weekend. Car, buttons, F Donald Trump, and abortion on demand without apology. The women at the Skylark that were just having this conversation that just showed me that, wow, all of the rules have just completely changed. We've just decided to throw everything out the window. We've just really crossed the line here in this art society. And then I had this realization that, you know, Calyx, I mean, that's what we're called to do. So to reach those people, you have to, you know, build a place and spend a long time making coffee, using beauty and hospitality and craft and justice to earn the right to be heard. And that works, and you should, and I will, and that's what I do. But I saw a story over the weekend, and I didn't notice, it might be an old article that's been going around. It can't be too old, but it was from the Women's March, you know, which was basically I started to say it was the pro-abortion march, but it was also the, I'm a woman and I am not super happy with the idea of, a guy being elected president. We're like, okay, with like, hey, let's make him president because he openly admitted on tape that he sexually assaults women. I mean, I would probably march too if that were the case. If you hear someone sneaking in, that would be the lovely and talented Ducky Laurent came home trying to do my radio show here, Ducky. Gosh, whatever I want, gosh. You're supposed to be, you're off. Why are you here? You're supposed to be gone. Anyway, I thought I had the house to myself, so I recorded in the dining room, but I don't have the house to myself because Jim Ducky Laurent came home and made a bunch of noise. Anyway, the article I was talking about. So at the Women's March, there was the Women's March went right by the East Coast Dominican Priory or the Dominican School or whatever it was. There, anyway, the place where there are a bunch of those really killer East Coast Dominicans, who I'm fans of in a big way, and I have friends who have been through that school and lived in D.C. there, and they just didn't put enough bathrooms up for all these women. So these young guys in habits, rosaries hanging off of them, full on Dominicans, were like, "Oh, hey, you can use our bathroom." And they just let some women use the bathroom. And then people started, like, next thing you know, they had 100 women in line. Many of them, like, holding signs saying, you know, keep your rosaries off my ovaries. Like, while they're standing there talking to young guys in habits with big, long, black rosaries hanging off of them. And it's like, so, but then this cool thing happened. They were like, they're all in line there, and they started going around talking to him, and it happened to be the Feast of St. Agatha. So they were talking to him about the story of St. Agatha. She's 12 years old, and she got martyred because she wouldn't marry this guy, and because she'd already kind of been betrothed to Christ. She had taken a vow of chastity and had made a religious vow. So she wouldn't marry this guy she was supposed to marry, and, you know, she dies defending herself, defending her virginity and her chastity. Some of these women were like deeply moved by this story. And there's women were all like, as they gave just instinctually when they came up, this act of kindness stopped them. And they started kind of like folding up, kind of rolling up their signs that were very offensive or taking the hat off that was offensive. And just kind of like, they immediately reacted to this act of human kindness with a reciprocal respect for these young men. And plus, I can imagine that women, a lot of them, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They're not just marching pro-abortion. They are marching for the sake of not, you know, basically not being taken advantage of, not being just reduced to some kind of object by men, and our president having admitted to doing that and still being elected. And here's guys who are like, hey, that whole predatory thing, I have completely opted out of that. In fact, I've opted out of the whole process, and I am giving my life to serve. And that's kind of interesting. That's kind of like shuts down their argument, at least regarding these particular people. And so they responded to this human kindness with respect. Now, here's what's interesting. They literally spontaneously started passing the hat. And they even said to one of the Dominicans, you know, brother, don't look at what's on the hat. Cause there's like, it was a vulgar hat. So one of their ladies takes off this hat that has some slogan or some picture or something on it that a Dominican would be offended by, and passed it around. And they collected hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars, for the Dominicans because they just let them use their bathroom. And it's like, it's that hard. That's how hard it is. There's evangelization right there. Don't reduce people to a position or an idea. Don't take something as rich as a person and turn it into something as feeble as a mere concept. What did they do? We're all sitting around screaming and yelling because we see some person walking down the street, some woman's walking down the street, and she's got this sign, and we see, you know, Susie. No, we see wants abortion on demand without apology, like my girl that I saw with the button on at the Whole Foods, right? We see pro-abortion. We see, and you know, anti this, anti that, you know, we see disagreement with us. That's what we see. What did these Dominicans see? They saw Susie, 34, mother of two, needs to go to the bathroom. So Susie, you know, and hates abortion versus Susie is a human being. Doesn't want the inevitable, absolutely, humiliating consequences that could happen if she doesn't find some place to go to the bathroom. I got an idea. Let this human person go to the bathroom in our bathroom. And if it gets messy, which it's not going to, because 100 women could go through a bathroom and you wouldn't need to clean it. 3 guys can go take a leak and you would need to bring in a cleaning crew. It's just, it's ridiculous, right? So, but still, 100 women, they let 100 women go through there, more hundreds, and use this bathroom. And all of a sudden they're building a relationship with people. So I don't know. What does that look like in your life? That's what I would ask. You know, who around you have you reduced to a position on a culture war issue or a disagreement over doctrine or whatever? And what is the equivalent that they need? Where's your bathroom at? What do they need from you? Something basic. What would it look like? What would it look like if we as the church did what these Dominicans did? What would it look like? What would the church look like? Would it be different? Would it just function be like it is, except nicer? What would it look like? What would the Roman Catholic Church look like if we just let them all use our bathroom? I just think that was one of the most beautiful things I've seen in forever. And I think we should just like make a case study of it. We should just make a big sign, you know, that says bathroom and like hang it everywhere and meditate on it. So, all right, there you go. There's been an entire segment about letting abortion protesters use your bathroom. All right, let's go to the break. I got a couple of days when we get back. You're listening to the Counterposition Single Awareness Day episode. We'll see you on the other side.
Then all the color glass, that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counterposition, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Lubberdecked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dumb.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Ye Old Breadbox Media. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Singles Awareness Day episode of The Counterposition. You know, during the break, I picked my phone up and I was going to shoot a little text just saying hi to my beautiful, talented, and intelligent amazing wife, and then I couldn't find her number. I was trying to find that. I was scrolling through, then I remembered, oh yeah, she doesn't exist and I'm completely alone. This is a good time being dark like this. Let's continue this thought. So in the last segment we talked about treating people with kindness and then getting reciprocal respect because you treated them with kindness. I used as an example, a bunch of Dominicans at this women's march in DC, just letting hundreds of women use their bathroom. And they spontaneously took up a collection for an organization that promotes a worldview that they're somewhat out there marching against. And they like kind of hid their signs and took off their weird vagina cap or whatever we saw them wearing all over the news and stuff. You know, they responded to kindness and dignity with respect and mutual kindness. Now I want to go one farther. I want to push this farther. So we in the Catholic Church and in the Christian world are constantly going off about things like pornography and abortion, but definitely let's use pornography as an instance. But this, you could apply this to slavery. You could apply it to trafficking. You could apply it to all kinds of things, but let's just talk about porn. What is porn? What is that kind of thing? It is the reduction of a person to an object. Now let's have a quick metaphysical recap of this concept. In the sphere of existence, there are things that break that are primarily answer to the word what, and other things that primarily answer to the word who. Those are things, are whats, and persons are who's, right? And as our late pontiff and my hero, St. John Paul II said, there is a great chasm between these two things. There's a big difference between a person and a what. And the gravest thing that we can do, especially in interpersonal or, you know, when we act, we can act on things, right? We can be the source of real original actions, right? In freedom. And when we act on things sometimes. I start in my car. I sit on this chair. I put this coffee right here on this table. You know, these are things and I'm acting upon them. I'm talking into this microphone. But sometimes when we act, the objects of our actions are not things, they're persons. And because of that, that great difference in dignity and that great, the perfection in the manner of our being as persons, when we act as a subject of action in the object of our action as a person, another human subject, then the rules change. I shouldn't sit on another person the way I'm sitting on this chair. Some people might be able to sit on people and that's fine. I am not one of those people. I would hurt you if I sat on you. I probably shouldn't have you get on all fours and use you to hold my coffee, right? That would be bad. Don't do that. I could talk into you like a microphone, but it wouldn't do much good. I mean, and it would probably be really weird and abusive. So you act differently when the object of your action is a human person, right? Now, when the reduction of a human person to an object, especially an object of use, I mean, in some, you might just kind of look at them in that way or think about them that way. But then when you start reducing a person to a means to an end, and that's my end, not yours, then you don't take into account that these persons have ends, are ends, you know, anything that they, you just reduce this person to a living tool in some way towards your end. Now that's why we talk about things like premarital sex, right? Is wrong. Why? Because outside of the permanent commitment of mutual gift of self and fruitful love, the end of that act would just be pleasure or utility in some way, you know? And even if you both agree to that, it's like, if I said, hey, I'm going to get down on the floor and you can put your coffee on my back for a while, then I'll put my coffee on your back for a while and we'll use each other as a coffee table. That mutual agreement doesn't make it any less disordered, right? So you can't do that. Now, what pornography is one way of reducing a person to an object, in this case, an object of lust or an object of fantasy or, you know, some kind of tool that I can use to give me images or thoughts or emotions inside myself that I want to have without having to, commit myself to a relationship, right? That's what pornography is. It is the reduction. And if you really want to look at it, it's not like it's taking the image of a person, what you see when you see a person and how you think about them and are towards them, and reducing this person to a concept, or even reducing them to, you know, parts or something, you know, and this, you know, and then those parts is concepts, you know, and the, for me to just like put inside my head and use for what I want to use. Okay. Where is this going? What does this have to do with the ladies in line using the Dominican's bathroom? What are you doing to someone when you reduce Susan, 34, single mom, two kids, one of them plays soccer, was abused when she was a kid, is really touchy about this and this, was an art major for a while. You know, when you reduce the fullness and majesty of a human person to just a placeholder for a position that you disagree with, and then treat them as such. What are you doing? You're reducing a person to an object, to a concept. You're basically, in the name of fighting the culture war or whatever, you're basically doing the same thing as porn. You're reducing a human being to a concept for you to consume and react to for your ends. Now, what happens? You know, think about the story. I keep meaning to look this up and get all the names of who it was, but there was a bishop coming out of a council or something with a bunch of other bishops, and they had just caught this great famous prostitute, like right in the act of committing adultery or like prostitution. And they were parading her naked through the streets, kind of like picture, like Queen Cersei in Game of Thrones. And they paraded her through the streets naked to humiliate her, right? They were doing that. And all the bishops turned their face and wouldn't look at her. And this one bishop looked right at her. And one of the other bishops says to him, says, why did you not avert your, eyes? And he says, isn't it a disgrace that such beauty is sold for something as little as money? And this woman and him lock eyes. This famous, notorious prostitute and this bishop lock eyes. And she goes to jail for a while. When she gets out of jail, she seeks him out. And she says, hey, what did you do to me? What was that? Now, she thinks it's some kind of spell or something. She thinks he worked a mojo on her or something, you know? What was that? Because she felt something. It's like when Jesus is walking through the crowd and the woman touches the hem of his garment and he stops and he turns around. He's like, who touched me? And they're like, what do you mean you touched you? Everybody's touching. You're in a crowd or throngs of people gathering around you. But he said, the scripture says he felt virtue leave him. He felt power leave him. There was a connection between them two, and she felt an internal change at the other end of this man's gaze. And so what it was is she'd never been gazed upon in pure love before, without being reduced, without being lusted after. And there she is in that moment, and everyone is looking at her, and either in lust and humiliation, he looks at her at love, and it changed her. Now, how do we apply that? Look at what happens. All these women are lined up protesting all this stuff, some of it legitimate, some of it not. And just four or five young Dominicans, just some young dudes in their 20s and their habits, just do something as simple as like, hey, use my bathroom. And it changed the entire mood. They went from zero to earning the right to be heard and mutual respect being given back for that kindness immediately. Why? Because we're built not for reduction, and we're so used to being reduced, and we're so used to reducing that when we have a human experience, a real human experience, and we judge that experience, we are like, oh, wow, what was that? I've never experienced that before. Oh, that was love. So there you go. Go and do likewise. Speaking of love, this has been the Single Awareness Day episode of The Counterposition. God bless all you people who have love and eros and romance and all that in the world. I hope you go to dinner tonight and have all kinds of fun. Let's pull the plug. Pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. Thanks for coming out.
I'll take your place, marble stone. I'll take your place, marble stone.